It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Every fall, we do a five-part series speaking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. There's a chance to hear directly from the elected government leaders about issues facing the county and their particular district as well. We're going to start things off with District 2 Tuolumne County Supervisor Randy Hanvelt in our series. Supervisor Hanvelt, thank you so much for coming in today.
Good morning. It's always good to be here. I really appreciate that you do these things. It's good for communication with our constituents.
We appreciate your openness as well to come on here this morning. First thing, District 2, for those who aren't familiar, where does it all stretch?
Well, District 2 is a little bit of an anomaly in Tuolumne County because we don't have a town, if you will, like Jamestown or Columbia or Twain Hart. I call us the bedroom community. Phoenix Lake Estates, Ridgewood, Crystal Falls, Cedar Ridge, Comstock Ranch, the Big Hill area, around the Soulsbyville, Willow Springs, Sierra Meadows, and around the backside of Columbia, but not Columbia, up above Yankee Hill and into Jupiter. That's largely what we are. And then a lot of, if you go all the way to the border, it's all trees and not a lot of people in the hinterland up to Alpine County and over to Calaveras.
Well, the first thing I want to ask you about is you just returned from a trip to Washington, D.C. to raise awareness at the federal level regarding issues faced in areas like Tuolumne County. What can you tell us about this trip?
This is an annual event that NACO, National Association of Counties, and specifically the Western Interstate region of NACO puts on. Western Interstate region is 15 western states, which are basically the Rockies West plus the Dakotas. And their commonality is more than 50% of the state is owned by the federal government. And so counties, and particularly rural counties like Tuolumne County, where most of the county is owned by the federal government, 77% of our county is owned by the federal government, whether it be BLM, National Park, or the U.S. Forest Service. And they own all this land, and they don't pay taxes. Kind of an oxymoron to think of the federal government paying taxes, but we provide services for that land. We do the search and rescue. We support law enforcement. If on this recent Donnell fire, we sent county fire units up there to do structure protection. And we ended up with a lot of law enforcement expenses and road team expenses up there. And on the order of magnitude, we spent a little over $100,000. That does not get reimbursed. So there is a concept called payment in lieu of taxes. That has been an annual renewal every year. It should be permanent. And so we went back there with the Western Interstate Region of NACO to lobby with congressmen and senators to not only renew it, but to find a permanent fix. The other issue was secure rural schools. Secure rural schools, we used to get 25% of the timber receipts on timber work in the national forest. That, since we don't, haven't been harvesting much in our national forest, that's gone to a very small number. And so they put together secure rural schools. That 25% used to go to schools and roads. Well, we go back to try and get that money, and we did. We were very successful last year. Got a two-year renewal of secure rural schools. And we got a renewal of PILT at full funding, which was a really nice thing to happen. So we're trying to get that to happen again and trying to get a permanent fix. The other one we're talking about is basically forest management, so we can get to the point where maybe we don't need the secure rural schools. We use real forestry, managing our forests, making them safer, making them healthier, improving the environment, improving the water, improving the recreation, and improving the economy. So that's what we're going after. Very good meetings, well-received, and I think I met with 13 different congressmen and senators. Miss Steve Scalise, he had to change his schedule, and then I was already overscheduled for that one. Couldn't find a way to fit it in. And Bruce Westerman from Arkansas, big forester guy, he got overscheduled and couldn't show up to our meeting. But other than that, we had some really big names Ron Wyden, both our senators, Harris and Feinstein, and more.
Are you optimistic that the trip will bear some fruit and will have some impact?
Actually, I am. I'm very optimistic about it because it was just so well received. The only concern I have is that at what level will they fund PILT? The budget funding is in it in roughly $500 million. We got $553 million last year. So I'm not sure whether we're going to look at a slight decrease or whether we're going to get full funding, and which should drive it up above the $553 million by some inflationary amount at least.
Did you have a chance to meet with the head of the Forest Service as well?
Yes, I did. That is really kind of amazing because when I was at another NACO meeting, National Association of Counties, I'm the new chairman of the Public Land Steering Committee. I wasn't at the time this takes place. The liaison between the U.S. Forest Service and NACO came to me and said, the new chief would like to meet with you one-on-one next time you're in Washington. So when I found I was going to be in Washington, we scheduled a meeting for a week ago Friday morning, and I only got a half an hour with her, but it was a very important half hour.
What were some of the topics you talked about?
How to get the Forest Service moving again and focused on results and getting things done. And we talked about the fire borrowing issue, which was settled in the omnibus bill, but that doesn't take effect till 2020. In the meantime, we're dealing with things. And we talked about our master stewardship agreement and staffing and focus. And she's very positive about making some changes. I'm optimistic. It'll take time. Everything takes time. But we will see some significant changes in how the Forest Service operates, and I think we'll start seeing more and more results.
Getting involved with these outside organizations and bringing these issues to Washington, D.C., do you feel it's been a good use of time?
Absolutely, absolutely. If you're not talking to people directly and you don't know them directly, they don't know what you're thinking. And their job is to serve us. And just like my job is to serve the constituents of District 2, but it's also to serve the people of Tuolumne County. And we need our forest managed, and getting to talk to her directly is a big deal. And the same thing goes with the higher-level people at the cabinet level, Zinke, Perdue, and others.
Staying on a similar topic, a while back we had you on a panel on Motherlode Views talking about the Master Stewardship Agreement that's in place between Tuolumne County and the Stanislaus National Forest. What is going on right now when it comes to that plan?
Oh, I don't know how much time we got, but this is really exciting, BJ. Really exciting. I said, and I think Sherry Brennan said, and others said, that this was one of the most exciting, potentially most important thing that we have done here in a very long time. We are now working in conjunction, together, hand in hand, with Yosemite Stanislaus Solutions. Now, that's a great group. They're a collaborative, a broad diversity of people, but they have values and input to how we manage our forests that are just invaluable. And we're working with private industry, and we're working with the Forest Service, and I want to say Tuolumne River Trust is managing projects for us. We signed this agreement, a 10-year agreement. We can now increase it to 20. We will do that at some point in time, but we're focused on getting something done. We have gone and we've gotten grants. We've got $5 million from the state on these climate change initiative thing. We have $5 million to go after projects. We've already let our first project. We got some more money from the Forest Service. They have to put in 80%. We're getting money from the Forest Service. We're making things happen right now, and we've just got some more money come in, and we're setting up a second project. And just like I predicted, we would hit some roadblocks. And our first roadblock is, on our first contract, we had one bidder, only one. That was disappointing. And he couldn't do it on the time schedule. We worked with him. He has gone and hired outside contractors from Northern California because there wasn't anybody locally. They're coming in. That project is moving as we speak. We're looking at doing another one, fuels reduction project, and moving forward. But the point is, there is a lack of human infrastructure in the state. I think there's also a lack of physical infrastructure, machines and people to operate them, and sawmills to do the job that we need to do. So we've already hit that. So what we've gone and done is we've gone to Motherlode job training, and ask them to put together a region-wide program to start training people to do this work, because there isn't enough of them around. But this is exciting. That's a good problem to have. Have work and not have enough people, we'll go find people.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Supervisor Randy Hanvelt on this weekend's Mother Lode Views. He represents District 2 in Tuolumne County. We're in the midst of a five-part series speaking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. A programming note, next week we'll be joined in studio by District 5 Supervisor Carl Rodifer. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Mother Lode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.